You have come to a conference at which you've had mostly Latin masses and mostly wonderful music. And some people say, yes, but what do we do at home? And you have heard me advocate that there is the paradigm, and then there is the gradual implementation of it in the parish. And so I've asked Father Keyes if he would talk about what he's done in his parish to gradually implement the paradigm. Father Keyes, you heard Father Keyes celebrate the Mass, you witnessed Father Keyes celebrate the Mass on Tuesday, and several people have in fact remarked to me that the Benedictine order, that is to say, the Mass with the altar facing the people with the six candles and the crucifix, at which point the priest looks at the crucifix mainly as an alternative to orientation. Several people have said to me how that has changed their mind about the Mass facing people. So I think we have with Father Keyes someone who has attempted to bring the paradigm into the parish and to lift up the level of things in the parish. And so he's going to tell us a little bit about how he's done that and why. He had some study of chant with Lawrence Hyman, he is a priest of the Precious Blood. He is now pastor of St. Edward's Parish in Newark, California, where he has charge of no less than 6,000 families. So I welcome Father Keyes and I thank him for telling us about his project, and I have to say his success. So, Father Keyes.
What you have in your hand is last Sunday's worship aid that is placed in the pews at St. Edward. It's a reflection of where we are at the moment. It's not where we began, and it's not where we're going to end. There is still much, much to do. Just a little bit more about why I'm here. I had the distinct honor and privilege of being Professor Mart's chauffeur for many trips into Oakland. He and I served on the same search committee for the new organist and music director for the new Cathedral of Christ the Light. And over a period of 4, 5, 6 months, we interviewed, we started with about 60 candidates, whittled it down to 3, and then we spent 4 weeks interviewing and auditioning those 3, and it's recently been confirmed that Rudy DeVos from the Eastman School and from Rochester, New York, is the new director of music for the Diocese of Oakland and will begin on August 1st. But in those many conversations in the high occupancy vehicle lane, that helped us to speed past, that's why we did it, by the way. We had lots of different conversations about music, liturgy, chant, and everything else. As Dr. Mark said, I'm the pastor of St. Edward Parish in Newark, California. It's the only Catholic church in Newark. It was established in 1880, and its new church was built in 1958, and the pastor at the time said, "Do you think we'll ever fill this place?" They moved from a church that sat 200 people into a new church that seats 400, which is why we have 9 masses in 3 languages every weekend. It is, after all, California. There's a great mix of cultures. There's the pagans and everybody else. We have some of those in our pews, by the way. I became the pastor of St. Edward in August of 2004. And there was much, as a pastor, I've been a pastor before, there was much that I took for granted as just being normal part of Catholic life. But in this parish, none of this had been seen for many years, and so as slowly as I was trying to move, the experience of the parish was a bit like whiplash. The previous pastor had been heard to say that, and he said this publicly, so I think I can too, that he was a liberal. This was going to be a liberal parish. We had 5 parishes around us. If you didn't like it here, go somewhere else. I stepped into his shoes. On my first weekend, the cantor said, "Let us stand and greet our celebrant by singing." And I was appreciative of the fact that the opening hymn was not "Hail Holy Queen." There was a communion hymn that contradicted our faith. There was a memorial acclamation that I'd never heard before, and it was a text that is not in the sacramentary. And I heard the same gospel verse week after week after week after week, sung to a Celtic melody. And on my first weekend, I was introduced to the parish liturgical dance group. Just last week, we took the glass chalices we used on that morning and put them in a burlap bag, took a sledgehammer to them, and buried them out in the backyard. By Advent of that year, I was hearing lots of stories about the sadness at the loss of the blue vestments. I was hearing many complaints about, "We want our church back." But also at the beginning of Christmas, I was getting lots of compliments about, "Thank you for giving us our church back." By Advent, I had removed fake trees, fake candles, loose leaf lectionaries. The Advent wreath, we didn't use the old one. It's the same Advent wreath and same Advent candles they've used for many years. The candles had never gone down. Plastic doesn't go down like that. By the following Easter, we had gotten rid of the plastic Easter candle. And also by the following Lent, the church began to see a crucifix again for the first time. Okay, the paradigm is basically the Roman gradual. It is the propers and the ordinary. And to be honest with you, another reason why I'm here is because Father Greg Markey is not. Now, Father Greg Markey in Norwalk, Connecticut, I had the privilege of preaching a parish mission at his parish. They have a high mass every week, extraordinary form, high mass every week, ordinary form, and Spanish mass and one other English mass. It was an interesting Lent because it was cycle B readings for the first mass I did on Saturday night, cycle A readings for the Solemn High English mass, and the reading from the Gospel of the Extraordinary Form for the Extraordinary Form mass. So I had to have 3 Gospels in my head. We have 9 masses, and after 1 year of trying, I wrote out a list of things that our music director needed to do. I gave him 3 months to begin them. 3 months later, I gave him his walking papers and put out a plea for a music director who had an understanding of what the church was doing. I was very happy to find a gentleman. His name is Sam Dorlach. As a young man, he worked under Monsignor Martin Hollywood. And one of his mentors was a man by the name of Don Vitry. And he was looking for a new job because he was not happy in his current position. And I've spoken to this pastor. His pastor was not happy with him because he kept trying to do a lot of Latin. So I put this out, and I've gotten lots of resumes. Sam's was one of them. And while I was back in O'Fallon, Missouri, having lunch with Sister Luella Dames, I was at a meeting of Precious Blood missionaries and Precious Blood sisters back there. Luella got a phone call. And Luella came back to the table and said, "That was Sam Dorlach." His first question was, "Did I know a Father Keyes out in Newark, California?" And she said, "Well, I'm having lunch with him. What do you want to know?" So this is what we elected to do. And we elected to do it relatively slowly. What it takes to accomplish this, it really takes a pastor and a musician working together. We have to be reading the same books, and we have to have the same vision. And it helps if both of us are just a little bit thick-skinned. It helps that I'm an ISTJ, and that T is getting stronger every day. So the plan was this, and it's only been in operation now for about 4 years. In the first year, we began doing Kyries and Agnus Deis and little things like that, just small little things. The Sunday we introduced the Kyrie, of course, we got a lot of complaints about the Latin. Year two, we began with the Communio. At the 10 o'clock Mass on Sunday morning, the choir at the beginning of the communion procession begins the Communio from the Roman Gradual. We got this book from some organization called the Church Music Association of America, and it had all the verses, and that was a great boon to Sam and to me, and that was year two. Year three, Sam, for all his gifts, Psalms was not his interest. His interest was the things that we've talked about, the gradual, the communio, the offertorios, the ordinaries, and things like that. So he was using, week after week after week after week after week, this collection of psalms from OCP called Respond and Acclaim. And for me, every Monday was Respond and Complain. And, you know, there were other sources and things like that, but nothing that was of our liking. So starting that year, I think it was Cycle C, I began every week composing the psalm for Sunday morning. I did half of Cycle C, all of Cycle A, and, well, I'm now plowing through Cycle B. Some of these are on the Chabanel Psalm site. They're going to get the rest of them. What I did is I basically took the Psalterium Monasticum, the monastic psalter. That's where these kind of short refrains are for the monks, for the daily office. And if it was Psalm, if it was Psalm 107, then I would look in the monastic psalter for Psalm 107. I would look at the Latin verse, and I would just simply type out the music with the Minor Ed fonts, and then put the English text underneath it and start moving around the notes to fit. My studies were in composition. Don't you love? Give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. Started the graduals yet, but this was where we ended up for the time being, and I'm willing to give these psalms to any parish that wishes to use the modes in their parish worship. Year three, we started with the introits, and that Christmas of year three, the choir got a gift from Father. A Christmas gift. It was a box of 20 Gregorian missals. And they used them. Year four, which is what we're currently in, is adding now into the offertories. We began by using just simply the daily mass, Sanctus, Sanctus. And then the second year with the ordinaries, we began with Mass 8, Sanctus. And then last year, we began with the Mass for Advent and Lent. And so we've sung that Mass for two Lents and one Advent. And just about a month ago, Sister Anne, a friend of mine, came to St. Edward's to visit. Sister Anne is celebrating this coming Saturday, and which is why I told her I couldn't be there, because I would be here. She's celebrating her 70th anniversary as a sister of St. Joseph. But she decided to come and do one final trip through California and visit all her friends, and she had some other friends of mine bring her to, friends from my own old parish, bring her to the 10 o'clock Mass at St. Edward. And afterwards, her comment to me was amazement, absolute amazement, that the people, she loved the choir, but the people sang the Kyrie. The people sang the Gloria. The people sang the Sanctus. The people sang the Agnus Dei. And her friends, who promised that they would come back, paid me probably the highest compliment, because she said to me, it was as if we were taken someplace else. It was like we had entered heaven. That's precisely where we go. That's precisely where we're supposed to be going. That's precisely what the Mass is supposed to be. It is not supposed to connect us to our own culture or to give us a sense of our own identity. It is not supposed to make us feel at home here. It is supposed to take us to heaven. It is supposed to lift us into another sphere and put us in the presence of the living God, because that's precisely where we go. Now, the book that I've recommended to many parishioners and who've read it and now understand a lot about what I'm talking about is a book called The Lamb's Supper by Scott Hahn. And it really does describe what, it's not a book about liturgy at all. It's a book about the book of Revelation. But it is a book about where we're going and what Mass is, that it's, we enter heaven. So, the other thing we did in year 2.5. Move to the choir loft. The cantor moved to the choir loft. We lost a couple of cantors at that. But my next task is to get him off the microphone. I haven't quite accomplished that yet, but we'll do that eventually. What we have is not a finished product. What we have is a work in progress. And it's basically one thing at a time. Now, Let me talk about the school. We have a Catholic school of 300 and some odd students. We have some 36 teachers, aides, and departments. We have the Dominican school's music project in our school. We have and there's nothing sacred about any of the music in that program. It's simply a school music program. But slow, we'll change. I'm entering my sixth year of pastor at, one of my fondest hopes, fondest, sincerest hopes. Somebody said to me at lunch that they thought that as a pastor I didn't get to accomplish this like 6 years ago. And it's really not, you know, you've got to get people on your side. And, you know, it's still a bit half and half. There are still people that still sort of complain about this. But we have 9 masses and they go elsewhere. If they don't like the incense, they don't go to the 10 o'clock mass. Our mass schedule is 5 p.m. on Saturday, 7 p.m. in Spanish, Sunday morning, 7:15, 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30 in English, 12:45 in Portuguese. Baptisms are at 2:30, and then we have a 6 p.m. and an 8 p.m. mass. And all of them, except for the Portuguese and the 7:15, and sometimes the 8:30, depending on whose vacation and which football game, all of those masses are full. My goal as a pastor is finally to knock that down to about 5 masses. So anybody out there have an extra $6 million for me to build a new church? We have a pipe organ that the former pastor tried to sell, and we have a little Rogers, an old-style Rogers digital that they bought for $1,000. And we use both of them. The pipe organ hadn't been used in 10 years, and it had a lot of dust in it. It cost about $6,000 to make it workable again, but it's now working again. And Sam has 3 organ students that use that organ every day. The school. This past year, the school finally agreed to a weekly mass. Before, they'd only had Mass at once a month, about 8 times a year, for a Catholic school. But now they have Mass every week. Now, I don't have a whole lot of control about what goes on outside the Mass anymore, but as I was saying, my fondest hope is that this October, next October, I don't get to hear, "The heavens are telling the glory of God and all creation." Anyway. Can you see the circus wheel going around? Okay. Anyway, so what we established for the school at those Thursday masses was a children's choir that sang every Thursday morning. And when we started, the children learned Mode 8. And so I began composing Thursday psalms. And so August 22nd through October 9th, every psalm was Mode 8. Those kids knew Mode 8 backwards and forwards. October 16th, we started with Mode 1. And we sang Mode 1 all the way through Thanksgiving. And for Advent, we began with Mode 2. And Mode 2 lasted through Advent. And the new year, we began with Mode 7. Started January 8th. And Mode 7 changed to Mode 4 on Ash Wednesday. And then we were Mode 8 for all of Lent. Okay, where's Easter? Probably still sitting on the copier. All right. But I have another sheet of paper that will tell me that answer. Mode 8 through Lent, Mode 4 through Easter, and Mode 8 at the end of the year. Also, at the beginning of the school year last year, Sam and I established the repertoire. This is a list which we expect that after 8 years of Catholic school, that these students will have experienced at least this as a minimum. This side is the tradition, and this side is modern hymns. Modern hymns. Festival Canticle, Nicaea, Houston, Last Ulch Erfurn, Picardy, Grosser Goetz, Nettleton, Personet Hodie, Lobden Heron, Rendez Adieu, Ashgrove, Dumna. Hymns. We became members of Fuori Cantores, and we learned all the music for their national convention, and our children went to sing at Fuori Cantores, and so that became the ordinary that our kids learned and used for a period of about 8 weeks, and then we came back toward the end of the year. One of the things on this minimum list is down here at the bottom. It says, the children will learn one piece from the Roman gradual, one from the simple gradual. The students will learn the difference between the ordinary and the proper, and what a gradual is. That's the minimum. And we've decided that the ordinary music for the children would include the Community Mass by Richard Prue, the Deutsche Mass by Schubert, and the Prue edition in the hymnal, and Mass 8 and Mass 18. So the children will do all of that every year during their 8 years of Catholic education. Now, one of the things that the calendar presents us with on Thursdays is Holy Thursday, there's no Mass. And in the morning, and the children were still in school, and so they came over to the parish church for that morning time, as always, and chanted the office with the rest of the community. So the other thing that I started last year is that there is in our chapel, each and every day, we sing lauds every morning at 6:15. We have a holy hour with Eucharistic adoration every night at 4:15. We chant Vespers at 4:30, and holy hour ends at 5:15. That's every day. The children came over for Holy Thursday for the Chrism Mass. For the Chrism Mass is on the Thursday before Holy Thursday in our diocese, and so the children processed over to the church and retrieved the holy oils from the ambry, processed to the school, and proceeded to assist me in burning the oils and cleaning the receptacles for the Chrism Mass that night. On the day before Ash Wednesday, they take all the palms that the parents and the parish community have brought back to the parish, and at a morning assembly with the entire school present, we burn the palms and create the ashes for the next day. And this year, for the first time, the parishioners gathered in the schoolyard for the blessing of candles, and then the school children had the Candlemas procession into church, and we sang a solemn Mass on February 2nd. That's the school. Pope Benedict has said, or Cardinal Ratzinger said, that when the ethos is doing lots of things at the Mass, and this is a nuance that was very, very difficult for me to get across to the school teachers, that there's a difference between doing things at the Mass as opposed to actually doing the Mass. And Ratzinger said that that was like having a painted-over fresco over a living reality. And our task at St. Edward's is to do the liturgy, not to do things at the liturgy, and to do the red and say the black. That's what we do. So, it's been 4 years since I hired Sam You'll notice on the song sheet that we currently have, the introit is printed on the front page, and the next page includes the prelude as well as the translation of the introit and the entrance hymn. That entrance hymn is used at all the other six English masses, and the introit is only at the 10 o'clock. The Kyrie for this period of time, just ending, was Mass 16 for the other Masses, Misa de Angelus for the 10. The Lee Congregational Mass for the Gloria at the other Masses, and Misa de Angelus for the 10 o'clock. A lot of what you saw me do on Tuesday is exactly what it looks and sounds like on Sunday at 10 o'clock. The only difference is, on Tuesday, the point was that Mass was to be in English propers and English ordinary, and so the Mass was all in English. But on a Sunday morning, the Mass is in English. People often refer to it as the Latin Mass, but the Mass is still in English. The readings are still in English, the orations are still in English, and the Eucharistic prayer is still in English. The opening hymn is sung during the procession. It ends by the time the procession lasts until I reach the altar. When I reach the altar, the introit begins and is sung by the choir as I incense the altar. I get to the chair and it's In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
Gratia Domini nostri Jesu Christi et caritas Dei et communicatio Sancti Spiritus sit cum omnibus vobis.
Et Spiritu
Tuo. Fratres, agnoscamus peccata nostra, ut aptissimus ad sacra mysteria celebranda. I confess to Almighty God. Okay, and then that's the first thing that we do in English. The Miseriator is in Latin. The Kyrie is in Latin. The Gloria is in Latin. After the Gloria, it's Oremus. And then the oration is sung to a solemn ancient tongue in English. The readings are in English. The psalm is in English. The Alleluia is in Hebrew. The... what we used to do at Holy Thursday was the English choir would sing the ordinary. They would sing the opening hymn. The Spanish choir would be downstairs and they would sing something at offertory, and the Portuguese choir would be over here and they would sing something at communion or after communion. And now we have a festival choir. They're all upstairs. It's members from the various choirs, and they sing Latin. And oddly enough, it wasn't true of the North Americans, but it was true of the Hispanics and the Portuguese. The Hispanics were like, oh, we know this, and sang right along. The Portuguese was, we know this, we're out of here. You get different reactions. So, and you try not to take it personally. So the other thing was finding that new piece in canon law that says that the function of the pastor, this is paragraph 7 of that particular canon, that the pastor has the responsibility for the solemn celebration of Holy Mass each and every Sunday. And so that 10 o'clock Mass became, after that first year, the pastor's Mass. When I'm in town, I'm the one that celebrates, that presides at that Mass. And so there is a consistency, and the people know what to expect. They don't have to think about what's coming next. It's the same thing. It's one of those things. The Lord did provide for me a singing voice. And it's not about me or... my talent, but it is about returning to God what God gave us. And one of the biggest supporters Last week on his Facebook page, he wrote that he's thankful that the Mass proceeds without announcements, arm wavers, or any secular-based popular music. A complete Mass with sung liturgy by priest, choir, and assembly, 52 weeks a year. It's a highlight of my week. I'm wondering if the church bulletin could be labeled smoke signals. And Royston, our assistant organist, said on his Facebook page, "You made St. Edward in the music department, along with Sam, the true highlight in my music career. There is no other priest like you." I'm sure there is, but anyway. "I pray that you have many years of happiness and more years to come." This, and I'll put these around here so people want to peruse through them. This is the booklet that's placed in the pews during the season of Advent and Lent. This is the book that is used for Easter and other major feasts, and this is the book that's used for Ordinary Time. This is the book that was used for the solemn vespers on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And I'm kind of proud of this one. This is First Communion. At First Communion, the children sang, and the congregation, those who were from the parish and had heard this before, their visitors didn't really pick up the books, but anyway, we sang at the Lamb's High Feast. And when I incensed the altar, they sang the Introit Misericordia Domini from the Gradual Romanum. The sign of the cross, the greeting was in Latin. The Recto Tono Confiteor was right there for the people to sing along. And the Kyrie, the Gloria from De Angelis. The responsorial psalm composed by yours truly, the Alleluia. Alleluia, 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 which is the one we use at the parish for Easter season. What you see here is the Alleluia we use for Ordinary Time. And when Sam introduced this on a Sunday morning, I was a little shocked. I thought, oh my gosh, this is just a bit adventurous. I thought he was kind of pushing us a little bit. I had given him this. I love this tune. But it only took the end of like 3 weeks. And I used this on a weekday morning. And all those little grandmothers in the front pew sang right along. They knew it by heart. This comes from the Liturgy of the Hours, from the Psalter for midday prayer for the season of Easter. And it simply goes like this. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Slow it down just like the people of St. Edward's do.
The creed was in there printed. We're not yet up to singing the creed. The prayers of the faithful. Ut nos exaudire dimieris. At the offertory, there was the offertorium from the gradual, and then the children sang, "Christ has made the sure foundation." It's a hymn we sing every year on the Feast of St. Edward's. It's a hymn the children at St. Edward's know by heart now. Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone. It's the hymn from Westminster Abbey, and it has an association with our patron St. Edward, so it's become our school song. The school's not too happy about that. The teachers, I mean. The kids don't care. The Sanctus, the Mortem Tuum, the Our Father, the Agnus Dei, the Communio, and another communion song. And then, this is the feast, the victory for our God, for the closing. That's First Communion at St. Edward Church, and we're 2 years into that.
Anyway, when I got to this parish, I knew that chant had pride of place in the church's thinking and understanding. At St. Edward, all chant has now is a place. It does not yet have pride of place. That may take another generation, but it now has a place. And that's all I can do up to this moment. In the coming year, the next task is the Pater Noster. We've already begun. The morning prayer crowd and the evening prayer crowd already know Pater Noster by heart. The choir is learning it. Once they have it memorized, then we'll begin doing some catechesis for the parish. But this coming year, we're going to teach the Pater Noster to the children, and they're going to begin singing the Pater Noster at their first Thursday Mass for the season of Advent. And it is for us to establish a sense of continuity with the Roman Catholic Church at St. Edward Church. We're one of two parishes in the Diocese of Oakland that I know of that include the gradual, Roman gradual, and include the proper and the ordinary. Oh, also in the coming year, the choir is going to be doing occasionally, not every Sunday. It's a little bit too much to take up in one year, like we did with the communions. But they're going to begin doing a few graduals, like maybe for Christmas, like maybe for Easter, like maybe for a few special events. And we'll get it into our blood slowly, and it's a gradual process. But that is St. Edward. And I will pray for you. I ask that you pray for me. If you'd like to see the schedule of children's masses and the minimum repertory, I'll leave it up here on the piano for you to look at. You can't take it home unless Jeffrey decides to put it on the website. Yes. Yes, yeah. I'll post this online or get Jeffrey to do so once I get home. I don't have the file here on my computer. And the Psalms I'll give at the end of today these packets that I created. One of the things that I had the honor of doing this year was. We inaugurated a new cathedral, and no matter what you think of the pictures you've seen online, to be honest with you, the outside doesn't do much for me either. The inside, from my perspective, is a very warm and inviting space. When you walk in, the first thing you do is your eyes go up because of the great image of Christ seated in glory. Behind the altar, the tabernacle straight ahead. But one of the surprises about the new Oakland Cathedral is it's probably the best acoustical space west of the Rockies. And we've had a few concerts in the cathedral. On November 2nd, one of the events for the inauguration of the cathedral was the Foray Requiem and the Locus Isti by Bruckner, and sung by the East Bay Symphony Chorus and Orchestra. And when I heard that Bruckner piece, I was stunned, absolutely stunned, because I was sitting all the way back, and it was like I was in the midst of the choir. The acoustics in there when the church is full are absolutely stunning. And then when we auditioned the organist, and I walked around the inside of that building, I was amazed that the sound didn't change anywhere in the building. It was just an amazing thing. And you know how buildings are. That's sheer providence. And and I'm grateful for it. And sometime in the new year, we'll inaugurate a new organ all these candidates got to audition on 1/5 of the organ, and what the sound that they made in the church. If that's what it sounds like when 1/5 of the organ is there, we're just waiting to see what it sounds like with bated breath for when it's finally in. So I'll be around after Compline. If you've got any questions, want to see any of these materials, thank you for your support.